In today's gospel, Jesus says to the apostles, "Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at table'? Would he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat. Put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I am finished.'" This sounds kind of harsh. I feel bad for the poor servant who has just come in, long day of work, long day of field plowing and sheep tending, and now has to cook, wait at table, and clean up afterwards, probably. There's a danger to this story, right? We've seen how the use of stories like this to justify servitude and slavery goes deep in the Western Christian tradition. But I don't think that's what Jesus is up to. What is he up to is our question for today. What does this parable, this saying, have to say about us who are trying to be servants of God? The first thing I think is it makes me think of all of the ways that we serve people in our lives, and it makes me think about the question of why we serve others. Why do we try to serve people? Why do we, even at the end of the day, if we're going to be unprofitable servants who have only done what we were obliged to do, why do we keep putting on the apron and doing it? And the short answer is we do it out of love. The images that come most immediately to mind, I'm not a parent, but when I see fathers and mothers who have a long day, especially now in our time of COVID, a long day of getting the kids up, getting them dressed, getting them at the computer or the Zoom room, making sure they're still doing it while their parents are also trying to run their own jobs, perhaps from afar. And then they're getting lunch ready and snacks eventually, and then dinner, and then eventually fighting to get them to bed, and then they get up and the whole day happens over again. How are they going to rest? Or I think of teachers who are getting up, they're not getting in it for the reward, right? If you've seen teaching salaries, but they still show up every morning in the classroom sometimes now at personal risk or on Zoom, trying to figure out how to help these students, help these kids to learn, to grow, to become the people they are. They're doing it out of love. They're doing it not because they're hoping to get an award at the end of the day, not because they're hoping that they'll get a pat on the back even though they deserve it. They're doing it because it's the right thing to do. They're doing it because they love these children. That sense of doing things for love, we can distinguish in some ways. The first step of trying to live a good life is doing good things out of fear of punishment or of hope for reward. Some of us learned that back in catechism classes years ago. But the step forward is to start doing these things out of love for God and love for neighbor. And in that daily grind of love that I think Jesus might be talking about here, the gospel doesn't stop. The work of doing the kingdom of God doesn't stop at a certain point. It keeps going. And that being in it for the long haul, being ready to, with the day in, day out, the lo quotidiano, as Latino theologians talk about, of the holiness of day-by-day life. That's at least one thing I think Jesus is talking about here. God is hoping that we are in it for the long haul, and we're in it not out of searching for a blue ribbon or a gold star, but out of love for God, and that love most often is expressed through daily acts of love for those around us. But one of the interesting things, I think, of this month of November, when the church calendar starts pointing us to think about our beloved dead, when the church calendar asks us to start thinking about judgment, about being a wise or a foolish virgin, being ready for the end, about all of the decisions we make and what time is it in our making of those decisions. It seems to me this parable also helps perhaps answer some of the questions we might have, or even some of the doubts or frustrations we might have with a lot of the ways we imagine heaven. So in the way that we see this in pop culture, and the way that we see this in movies, heaven seems kind of boring. to me at least, you sit around in a cloud, kind of dull. Everyone's wearing the same clothes. Everyone has the same wings. When I talk with my students about this, this is sort of a question, why would I want to go to heaven and just rest? What are you going to do all day in heaven is the question that they sometimes ask. Well, this parable seems to suggest, well, what are you going to be doing all day? We're going to be loving each other. The theologian John Thiel up at Fairfield has a book called Icons of Hope that tries to reimagine purgatory and heaven as places not of stasis, but of places of sort of continuous active participation in the work of loving each other. So if we're looking forward to the kingdom of God, if we're looking forward to heaven, it's not a place of rest in the sense of stasis or in the sense of stopping. It's more of a place of rest like when you're running a marathon and you hit your stride. It's more a place of rest like when you are playing a musical instrument and you and the other people in the band hit their groove. It's an active rest rather than simply a ceasing of activity. And so if our life here in our biographies and our histories is not a long test that we're going to pass or fail, but instead is a process that's forming us into the kind of people who are ready for that kind of kingdom of heaven, well, this parable says we're being formed into the kind of people who can serve other people, who serve and are served. And that heaven will not be sitting alone on a cloud, but instead heaven will be a long banquet where we're all trying to be good to each other. That our work right now is learning how to do that in this world and growing into the kind of people who can be servants to each other without complaining, without holding back. And so the third thing there that I think this parable brings us today then is the question of, well why should we be servants to each other? How do we do this? But to point to the fact that there's an icon here of what this kind of service looks like. God thinks this way of growing into people who love each other, who serve each other, who don't get tired, but instead keep looking for ways to serve each other, is so good, is so important, that God decided God wanted to do it himself. So we have an interesting moment a few chapters before this in the Gospel of Luke, talking about the Master returning at the end of time. And it says, and this is in chapter 12, "Blessed are those servants whom the Master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them." Almost contradictory to this story here. But the idea of the Master becoming servant, remember that it's Jesus who takes off his outer garments and gets down on his knees to wash his friend's feet at the Last Supper. God wanted to no longer have us only be servants but friends. But the truth is that to become the kind of friends, become the kind of lovers, become the kind of humans that God is hoping that we'll grow into, we learn that here and now, not through, at least in my experience, usually big blasts of light or big life-changing experiences, but the more day-to-day work of getting food on the table, doing the laundry, planning another lesson, grading some more papers, being kind to the people that we work with. It's not very showy. It's not very flashy. But it is, in the words of today's gospel, what we're obliged to do. And not just obliged to do, it's what we get to do. Serving each other is so much what humans are designed for that God decided he wanted in on the action. So if we have that today, then thinking about how do we love each other through our service, is one way perhaps of getting into this time of the year when we think about who are we becoming, what will God think of our lives, and how do we make sense of that?